Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Real, and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to thank you for listening. I'm grateful for all of you being here. I love your emails. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your suggestions. Thank you for liking Reality Spirituality. Today we have a wonderful show with Dr. Rahm Weber, but before I go to Dr. Weber, which, let's see, let me just see if she's on. Yep, she's in there. I wanted to share with my new listeners, because I have countless new listeners, what the hell is this show about? What is Reality Spirituality? Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guide to living connected. It's a guide to living connected to the most powerful energy source around. Some people use the term God. Some people say higher power. I like to say universe. And so this show is sharing strategies, tools, ways, different perspectives, how to live connected in every moment of your day. And when I say connected, I'm talking about a feeling, a sense, a foundation of knowing that everything is okay, knowing that everything is in order, you are happy, regardless of whatever the circumstances, external circumstances might be, you are happy, you're grounded, you basically have surrendered, you have surrendered to the universe, and you're letting the universe drive. And the only thing that you're doing, the only thing that you have to do is, you ready for this? The only thing. Actually, I'm setting everything up. I'm setting it up for this big, big, big announcement. And it's really not that big. The only thing that you have to do is what you are inspired to do. There's nothing you should do. There's nothing you have to do. It's just what you are you inspired to do. And that's what this show is about. And the other thing that you have to do when I say that is just choose. Choices. You have choices to make. You can make a choice to, if you're not feeling comfortable about whatever's going on, change your perspective. You know, there's 7.2 billion people on this planet, and there are 7.2 billion perspectives. So that's all you have to do. If you're not feeling this, let me just speak for myself. I don't like to preach to people. I just like to share with you what works for me. If there is something that's going on in my life and I'm not settled with it, if you will, all I have to do is change my perspective and find a different way of looking at the same situation. So that's what Reality Spirituality is about. But today we have a guest, and let me just look at her bio, which is really impressive, very extensive. Dr. Rahm Weber is an international psychic medium based in New York, in the New York metropolitan area. She has appeared on television and radio and has worked with clients from all over the United States, the United Kingdom, India, Canada, Russia, Brazil, the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, China, Japan, and the Philippines. I think that covers every inch of the world. She is trained both in American and British styles of mediumship, which I had no idea there were more than one. So like many mediums, Dr. Rahm experienced various psychic events during the course of her childhood, but I'm going to bring her on right now and let her go into that, because I always like my guests to, you know, share with the audience from their own lips. So let me pull up. Oh, Dr. Rahm Weber is on the air. Welcome, Dr. Rahm Weber. Welcome
to
Reality
Spirituality.
Good
morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, really well, and thank you so much for being here with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
I love it. I love your bio. Now let's just introduce you to the audience. As a child, you said that there were a lot of psychic events throughout your childhood. Can you just briefly share with us some of those and how you came into this wonderful person that you are right now?
Thank you. Well, you know, I think that as a child, I was aware of spirit, but I didn't have a context to put it in. So I was aware of the presence of people that have passed on, but it wasn't something that I really tuned into, because really all of my life I was trained as somebody who was going to pursue a very academic career. So I went from kindergarten to PhD pretty much nonstop. And during that time, there were various events that would occur. I was experimenting with psychometry as a teenager. That's where you like hold a piece of jewelry or something, you try to get the vibes off of it. And, you know, I experimented with Zener cards and this kinds of thing and various mind reading games that kids do. But it really wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I actually really recognized it and developed it, which just goes to show you, you know, people can have it from the time they're young. People can develop it as an older person. It really doesn't matter. It's with us all our lives to access when we want to.
I love that. So how did you develop your gift? How did you develop it?
It was a funny story. I had a lot of guinea pigs. Let's start there. I had something. And what I did was, once I had a couple of initial experiences, I asked my friends and family if they would help. And I read for, you know, all of them, every last one of them that was willing to sit down with me and say, let me practice with you, right? But at a certain point, what they'd say is, hey, Rahm, you know, you probably knew that about me already. You know, there's a possibility that could have come up in conversation or something like that. I said, you're right. So what I did was, I had a break in graduate school. And I put an ad on Craigslist at the time. So if anybody wants to archive, they can find me there.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I said, if you'll meet with me, to complete strangers, I said, if you'll meet with me, I think I have this ability. And we'll just meet over a cup of coffee. And all that I asked for a free reading at the time, of course, was, you know, give me your constructive criticism. Tell me what I'm doing right and wrong here. Tell me where I'm messing up. Tell me where I'm getting the hits, where I'm not. And what I did was I started creating this vocabulary, like almost a symbolic vocabulary, to start getting an idea and to ascertain when I was on the ball and when I wasn't. And then after that, I actually got very formal training.
Oh, okay, formal training. Go into that. Now, what did you learn in your formal training? You know what? First of all, let me just say, that was a great idea.
Sure.
I mean, I love that. I just love the creativity and basically what you're doing is you really wanted to know and you wanted to grow with this. Keep going.
Right. Your form. And what I did was I created a little binder, and I would write down the symbols that I would get. In the beginning, I was very symbolic, so I got a lot of symbols, and I would write down how I saw names. So I would write down, you know, for example, I've heard Annie. If I heard Anne in my mind's ear, you know, or E, I'd write that down and I'd start figuring out what I was hearing also and what I was sensing when I was just picking up on. And then I had the great fortune of meeting a woman named Dr. Karen Lundegaard, who has since passed on herself. She was a medium and a psychologist. So for somebody like me, who was an academic and a young medium at the time, it was perfect. And then she also had other people that she was teaching that were in similar positions who had the academic background, but then had this other metaphysical piece. And so she was the first person I trained with. And I can actually remember one of the first times we did a group event. She was having one of these like small group demonstrations in our home. And I was really just coming there to observe. And so we sit down and everybody gets comfortable and she's ready to start her work. And she says, and by the way, everybody, this is Rom. And she's going to give messages tonight. And I said, what? You know? So,
right on the spot. I love that.
And it worked. And then later, I pursued a lot of education over in England. There is a great residential school called the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Science. And what that is the residential teaching facility of the Spiritualist National Union. So it's an actual freestanding building, and there's more than one now, a couple hours outside of London. And what a person can do is if they're interested in exploring their intuition, their psychic ability, their mediumship, they can go there and take classes with like the best in the world. You know, I'm not going to say that in England, the teachers that are in England are the only ones that can be the best in the world, but they sure have a lot of them over there.
Oh, my goodness.
Their standards are high.
Give me the name of that school again, because quite frankly, my son, who is coincidentally, of course, there are no coincidences, he lives in New York, and I just want to share with him that the name of that school, because
absolutely,
what is
it's
it again?
Called Arthur Findlay College, and if you look online, I believe it's arthurfindlaycollege.org.
Okay, perfect.
Or
thank you.
UK.org. Yeah, you're welcome. And there's also I've got a page of my frequently asked questions on my own website and a Learn More page. And on the Learn More page, I have a lot of these listed. So if your listeners are looking for, you know, a cut and paste for some ideas, I've got plenty of them there for them to find.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Thank you for that. That's
very welcome.
So fascinating. Who, you know, I love having, I love when the universe just connects me with such like energy, and I'm just open to learning more about being a medium. And so after all of that, after the, you know, getting thrown in the pool, if you will, with no suit on,
right.
What happened after that?
Well, that's interesting. With AFC, I think that was the part where I developed a lot of my ability on platform. We talk about doing mediumship in a couple of different ways. One of them we call a sitting. That's when we just are having a conversational style sitting with our client, you know. And another way we can do it is we can get in the front of a larger group of people and do it literally on platform, much as you would as part of the church service where it comes from. And so in the beginning, I worked up. I started with one person at a time, and then I would work with a pair of people, and then maybe four, and then a small group. And now I'm regularly up there in front of hundreds of people at a time during the summer. So it changes. And what I find is that it's incredible on both ends of the spectrum, because on one end, when you've got, you know, a one-on-one, I've got 1 hour with somebody and I've got such great depth and I can bring through so much information. And sometimes that person even gets a sense of their loved one in the room, which I can't create, but it does happen from time to time. And that's fabulous. On the other hand, what we have sometimes is in a large group, we've got this incredible battery. And so the people that will come through when I'm working with hundreds of people at one time will be just like these characters that will come through. It's not like somebody's shy and retiring and could not come through. Of course they could. But in addition to that, I find that we get people who had a lot of flavor in their life coming through and bringing through some incredible information for the benefit of all.
Oh, I love that flavor. Flavor in their life. I love
flavor.
Saying, yeah, spicy flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when did you... Okay, so you've had the background. Now you're starting small with one person, and it gradually goes to hundreds of people. How did you get out there? How did you become worldwide? Were you able to cross the continent with this? Just gradually word of mouth and.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways. As far as my abilities go, absolutely word of mouth, no question. That's been the spine or the bony structure behind all of this, right? people need to know what you can do. And one thing that sets me apart, to be honest, from other people in practice is that I do work with a guarantee. And I've done that ever since I accepted fees for the first time. So when a person comes to see me, if they're seeing me in the capacity as a medium, what I say to that person is I can bring through somebody they can recognize, and I can do that clearly. And if I can't, I don't charge. So that keeps the work very, very clean, right? Other people will say you're paying for the time, but the reality is I feel like, just as with any other professional standard, we're here to provide evidence. Now, we can't go to the dinner party and bring the menu, but we don't want what's called clairvaguness. And what I'm really happy to see is that as time goes on and more people become familiar with mediumship, those standards are collectively getting acknowledged and propagated in ways that they might not have been before. Because what we don't want is, we don't want, you know, grandma with a rolling pin and her hair up and how much she loves you. I mean, look, my grandmother had her hair up and she cooked and she loved me, you know, and I still feel her. But there's a lot of other things that could have made her very distinct, and people can bring that through in evidential work. So when you talk about how does it get from point A to point B, the first thing is the quality of your work. And so as soon as I got to the point where I said, wow, you know, this is where my accuracy rate is, and these are the few times that I'm going to have to gently give somebody their ticket back, so to say, that's when I felt comfortable hanging the shingle out. And then, of course, you get to study overseas if you want to do that. You can meet people. You can work in different capacities. Skype is amazing because we can reach everybody now. And so, for example, within, say, the last couple of months, my closest clients would be here in New York City, and my furthest ones would be in New Zealand. And because it's non-localized information, it's my ability to use my head and tune in. I don't have to actually be with a person. It can, you know, we can serve the world. It's great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was just getting chills with that. And I got chills because when you talked about the guarantee and the purity, the quality of your work, I love that, because that is, I mean, I just feel so connected to you with that, because I feel the same way. And it's not about, okay, this person is not as good as, it's not even about that. It's just what you have to offer. And I don't know why, the universe always brings me the best of the best of the best of the best. And so here you are on the show. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And to you as well.
So listen, wow. Is there, I'm trying to gather my thoughts, because I'm trying to ask the questions that are really, this is what I wanted to ask. Doing all of this, I mean, with all of the readings, how are you affected psychologically, physically, emotionally? And I mean, I'm sure that it's changed over the years. So how are you affected in the beginning, and how are you affected now, if at all?
Definitely. I can definitely address that. Okay, a couple of things. I think one of the questions I get asked a lot is, does it drain you? All right? I get that a lot.
Okay.
And here's the reality. For people that are listening now, or when this is archived, we all know the idea of a healer who gives of themselves and is drained, and other healers that seem, excuse me, not to be drained at all. And you'll feel that there's a difference. We call it in the spiritualist movement the difference between, excuse me for a second, magnetic healing and spiritual healing. And those are two broad terms to mean this difference. In magnetic healing, it's the idea that you're giving of your own energy. In spiritual healing, it's the idea that you are trying to become an open channel and let the energy of universal healing come through you. Magnetic healers, while they will heal and give wonderfully of themselves, will be drained. They will feel exhausted. And you can think of magnetic healing not just with a physical hands-on healing, but in any capacity, whereas a person gives of themselves and then they're drained afterwards. Whereas when we talk about spiritual healing or channeling or pursuing this in a different way, what we're talking about is this idea of allowing ourselves to be filled with that energy first and then giving it out. It's kind of like the idea of being on a plane and putting the oxygen mask on ourselves before we put it on our child. It's the idea that you are overfilled with an abundance of energy. And so as a medium in the beginning, I didn't know how to distinguish these ideas, and I would be drained, definitely. So eventually I learned to become a channel in that sense of letting it flow through me. And the more I did that, not only did the more energized I became, but also I want to say that I was able to hold my ground better because I could just remain in the place where this other information would come through me, and afterwards I would feel jazzed. And I think that at this point I can say confidently I've mastered that ability. So when I am up in front of hundreds of people, that energizes me, because what it is I'm taking their energy. It's like giving the energy right back at them. I'm not holding on to any of that.
Wow, and I've never heard that explained before. I thought, you know, it's so interesting because in my journey of this evolution and just evolving as a person, and being this is my whole thing is being an example of the universe in a human form, being an example of the universe in a human form, day in and day out, every moment of the day. So what I used to find was there are different types of people, and there are people that I call them sponges, you know, just sponges. They do soak everything in.
Yeah.
And I am just by nature the opposite. I'm more like Teflon, and where I can feel I can feel that someone is suffering, I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit there. My day is going to be affected by it. So I like
that. Oh, I hear that.
Yeah, I like that. And it's not, yeah, it's so relieving. It's just that I can watch someone and I can be in the same presence of someone crying, and their whole life is ruined, and the ceiling's falling on them, and they broke a leg, and somebody shot their mother, and someone kicked their dog. But I'm like, oh, okay. But it's more of a, yeah, just slides right off. I love that you explained it like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I would like to just add in two more pieces with that, because when we meet these people, the people that we feel like, you know, are draining and picking up, what it does is it also encourages us to stay in balance. So, for example, before I do this work, I must meditate. No question about that. I've got to make sure that I'm not emotionally hanging on to anything, that my head is clear, that I'm grounded. And when I meet with that person, one of the things that I've noticed lately is that the information tends to be more accurate the less emotional I feel about it. So it sounds kind of backwards, because a lot of people will work in this field and they do feel. And for the longest time, this information would come to me, and it would come to me very clearly and without emotional feeling. And I thought, you know, what am I? You know, am I dead? Am I uncompassionate? What's going on here? But when we talk about feeling, we're talking about it in two different kinds of ways. We're talking about feeling, say, a mirrored emotion of somebody, and then we're talking about perceiving somebody's emotion. And in my experience as a medium, and this might be yours too, the closer we are to that way of perceiving it and recognize it objectively, like this is their thing, whether it's a psychic reading or we're working with spirit, the more accurate we can be, because we recognize it as something that isn't our own energy.
Right, exactly, exactly. I love that too. Okay, so now you have, now you've gotten to this point, and you're explaining the journey. Now, what for you as Dr. Rahm Weber, what for you is your most, actually, I think you already answered that question, but satisfying moment? Give me your top satisfying moment, or maybe the top three, one of the top three, because I know it's hard to narrow down, you know, just one. It's like one of the, that you're just, you're so overwhelmed, so joyful, so just, wow, what a great effing time. And what was that for you?
Wow. Well, you know, to be honest, I have to tell you, it was a recent experience, and I actually wasn't playing the part of the medium. I was playing the part of the messenger. And let me tell you how that happened. I had been doing a radio show with my co-host at the time, Susan, and the show is called now The Medium at Large. And that's one of the shows that I do. And in the show, Susan will interview mediums and take callers on air. And after the show, because we've done this a couple of times together, we will take turns reading for each other. And Ooh. This is because we're still in the energy, you know? So we have an opportunity to practice offline in a professional capacity, and it's wonderful. And she says, do you mind if I go first? I have somebody here with me. And I said, sure. And I listened, and she says, can you recognize this last name? And I said, well, yeah, because the last name is my best friend's deceased mother's last name. I said, that's interesting. Mm. And then she said, can you recognize this first name? And that was her first name. And I said, whoa. She just got last name, first name. And wow. I think that as mediums, we can acknowledge this is what we would like to be able to do, but because we don't set the dinner party menu for what the spirits are going to tell us, mm-hmm. this was pretty incredible. Meanwhile, the person that we have in common now, her daughter, my friend, is 2,000 miles away. And
of course
Susan is bringing through her deceased mother to me, giving information about my friend 2,000 miles away. Okay, so this just happened a couple weeks ago. And if you say to me, what is one of the ones that I say, you know, wow, oh my God, awe, I couldn't write fast enough. I couldn't type mm-hmm. the notes fast enough. And when it was all over, we concluded it, and I gave her the validation, and I said, this is who you brought through, because she had the first name, she had the last name, she had the health condition, she had a message, she had an accurate description, you know. This was excellent, excellent evidential mediumship. So that was one. And then I was eventually able to relay that information. There's another one. You know, I have a book of these stories because, you know, you just can't make them up.
You can't make it up. You can't make it up. I get it.
And
yeah.
I would say that by and large, what they are about for me is being able to give a piece of information that the medium often thinks means nothing, and for the client, it's the world. And I'll give you another example. I was early on in my practice. We're going back almost 20 years now, and I was just starting. And thanks to some wonderful genes, I do come across a bit younger than I am. At the time, I'm in my mid-20s. I am then, I'd say mid-20s, I was probably about 30 at the time. And I had two clients come in to me, and they were in my office, and this was in Berkeley, California. It was a mother and her daughter. And, you know, frankly, they gave me the once-over. That's what it kind of felt like, you know. They walked in, and they looked me at the top, and they looked me at the heels. I'm like, you know, like, who are you to be doing this work, right? And I still get that. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So mm-hmm. I just said, all right, we're going to sit with this. I'm going to do my work. We're going to help keep them relaxed. And I get into the correct mood, and I say, explain to them all my talking points. And I open up to spirit. I open up to the first piece of information. And what I see in mind's eye is basically a bag of name brand candy. You know, I'll call it Skittles for now to protect their anonymity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to tell these people that I'm seeing a bag of Skittles? That's just going to set the it's going to set the ball rolling just the way you want it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'm feeling a young man's presence. And I describe him. And I said, you know, he's showing me this bag of Skittles. And I think I had to shovel their jaws off the floor.
Wow.
And then they were really shocked. And then the shock quickly turned into tears. And I just paused, you know, in respect of their emotional response. And when the moment had passed, they said, you can go on now. And I said, do you understand this information? And they said, Skittles was the name of our brother's and son's rock band. Yeah.
Oh, you got a gasp out of me.
Yeah. And that experience, to be honest, is quite regular in the work of mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we will be trained, as we will talk amongst ourselves, as we will teach each other, you have to give what you get. You have to give it directly. It has to be unembellished. And it's not for you. It's not for the medium. It's for the client.
Right.
And so this spirit communicator found a way of getting this picture into my head of the name of his band that I could not probably have gotten any other way if he didn't show me, you know, a commercial product.
Right.
I possibly could have heard it. I could have seen the name. But you know, it was like this bag of candy floating in the ether. You know, there was nothing else to say but I'm seeing this name. And then we got his name, and we got his description, and we got his personality, and we got the conditions of his passing, which were tragic. And we spent the next hour with this man, you know. But when you think about the awe in the work, I've never lost my appreciation for that awe, because that's the kind of information that can come through on a regular basis.
You know what? I just have to comment on your energy talking. And number one, you do sound really, really young. You sound like you're in your 20s. That's just how your voice sounds. And the other thing is, you sound really, you know, what something I talk about on the show, really, really happy. And this happiness is coming from your inside out. And I was just trying to feel how that throughout your day you get awes and you get gasps and you get, you know, all of the satisfaction. What a freaking wonderful life. I mean, wow. And you're doing service. I love that the universe connected us. Woo.
I am in love with my work. I have been in love with it since the first time I was able to do it. And I can think of some family members that have said to me over the years, you spent how long on a PhD to do this? You know, I remember that. But one thing kind of naturally led to the other. And, you know, once you find that work that you love that gives you this kind of energy and you get to share it and do it professionally, I mean, that's a find.
That's the ultimate. Yeah. We have a couple of callers. Would you like to take some calls?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to.
Okay, hold on a second. We're going to go to our first caller. This is area code 646. And what is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Kayla.
Anna?
Hello.
Kayla, yes, hi.
It's Taylor.
Hi, Kayla, how are you?
I am well. I was just listening to the show, and I'm, like, very intrigued. I wanted to know about... I have a budding friendship with a gentleman named Sean, and there seems to be some kind of interference from his former mate and from another woman. And I just feel a little confused, that's all.
Okay, and... what I always say to my clients is the more specific question, the more specific answer. So when I hear about you, what I'd like to find out is, what is the question you're looking for resolution of? How specifically can you word this?
Okay. I'm with Sean. You know, our friendship is in budding. And I wanted to know, why am I getting this interference, not so much from the mother of his child, but from this new person.
All right, so we've got three women involved. We've got you, we've got the mother of his child, and then we've got another lady?
Yes.
Okay, and that lady is directly interacting with you? I'm just trying to figure out where to pin in here.
She used to interact with me, and intuitively, like, I feel things very strong. And I've been feeling it very strong. Like, I know her behavior, and I know that she's the kind of person who would stalk.
You said stalk?
Stalk someone, yeah, in order to get what she wants.
Okay, because what I'm feeling, I mean, immediately, it doesn't take a psychic to know this, though, but I'm feeling a lot of boundary violations here, yeah?
Yeah.
So there is no privacy screen coming up here. You know what? This is going to sound, it's funny. It's like psychic medium and this is going to sound nuts, but this is going to sound nuts. There is a concept I have called dark angels, and it doesn't have to do with color of skin and it doesn't have to do with Christianity. It's the idea that there are people and situations that come into our lives, which will initially appear as negative and are the opportunities for some of our best growth on the planet. And what I'm getting is, as much as you might be getting into a relationship with Sean here, and that will bud on its own accord, this second lady that you talk about can take you on an experience of healing boundaries that I don't feel you would even get with him. So even though she's coming across as somebody who's interfering, the response that results most positively for you is one in which you develop the boundaries that are not in place. So when I see her in your life, what I'm seeing is somebody who could, in a back channel kind of way, do you a world of good. Because the skills that you need to develop to clear her out of your energy are the skills that will make your relationship with Sean even better. You see what I mean? It's like the tool in the toolkit that needs to happen here isn't so much about him, because I'm getting a pretty clear feeling about him. What I'm getting is that you develop the no means no with regards to her, and you feel good about that within yourself. What I'm sensing is the ability to say no within yourself is not where you'd like it to be. And so, therefore, I see her coming in as somebody who brings that boundary shifting into your life in an extremely positive way. You might have to get her out of your life. You know?
I did.
You did already?
I did.
What is she staying in?
I did, and I did it in a loving way, but I asked her, and I was very, I was hurt, but I did ask her, you know, why are you, and she denied it. She started trying to scream and holler and cry and make a performance, and but the tears didn't come down. So I was like, listen, you don't mean that. I was like, that's enough. Oh, we've been trying. I said, no.
Taylor, I want to thank you for your call. I want to thank you so much for your call. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. We're going to move on to another caller, and I want to thank her for that.
Great. Thank you, Kayla.
Are you with me with that, Dr. Ron Weber?
I'm here.
Okay, here we go. To the next caller, area code 856. Area code 856. Good morning. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What is your first name?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Good morning,
welcome,
Laura.
How are you?
Good. How can I help you today?
I would like to have some kind of guidance about my career and to see a move coming up for me with regards to career.
All right. First thing I'm picking up with you is stay put. I feel like there's a false opportunity to jump. Do you understand that? Like somebody hasn't really made a contractually obligated commitment to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. It's like somebody's saying, well, here, I'm thinking about this, but I want to say to you, get it in writing. Do you understand that you've been given this opportunity just recently?
Well, no. I'm actually in a contract. It's supposed to be until through the end of January,
mm-hmm.
but they haven't made me any promises beyond that.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. What I'm getting is I'm getting a second contract, though. So if you were to complete this contract here, would you be starting on a completely new contract? Or would it be an extension of the old one?
It would probably be an extension of the old one.
Okay. What I want to talk about then is not this current contract. What I'm picking up on is the second part of the contract. And what I'm seeing in my mind's eye with that is that there is a paragraph that isn't filled out. So I feel like you need to get your independent counsel here to examine this contract because it's written without – what I'm getting is the word fail-safe. It's like
well,
all –
they never are, though, that it's at will. It always is. So there's never any guarantee, even with the contract.
I understand that.
I could quit, too. Yeah.
I understand that. What I'm saying is that I feel like they are omitting a portion – of what would happen in XYZ situation that you need for the next sign-up.
Mm.
It's like they're holding back a little bit on you. Does that make sense? There's a piece of information. When you look at that actual contract, it's like there's a paragraph of information that's missing with regard to the security of your work. and I feel like I need to advise you to consult somebody in contract law or that's familiar with this to say, you know, even like a human resources person to say, is this typical? Because the way it's coming up to me is like there's something not kosher here. And if you've been feeling this intuitively, I would say validate that and make sure somebody else has another look over it. Something isn't right with the contract being offered.
Oh, because I'm looking to try to move down to Maryland and try to get a permanent position down there. So I was hoping that that's what was going to come through.
That contract, that secondary contract, would not involve the move, right? This is an opportunity that you have to continue on wherever you live now.
Right.
Yeah.
But I need to get out of here. I need a change.
Right.
I'm tired of living here.
I
just need a major change.
Have you considered going down as far as Georgia? Has that been on the radar yet?
It has in the past, yeah. I have considered that. I've considered North Carolina and Maryland and definitely Georgia.
Because what I'm picking up for you very, very strongly is Peachtree State. I'm picking up very, very strongly within a two-hour radius of Atlanta. And if the opportunity comes to look for work there, I'm seeing a sold house or I see a living situation here that's given up for a larger move, but I'm not seeing so much in the mid-Atlantic Eastern Seaboard area. I'm feeling you're going way south. And I'm getting the feeling like right around, I want to say December, right around Christmas time, December 21st to 25th, I feel like you hit on something. You need to get on the job boards. Yeah, there's something pretty close coming up for you there.
Do you have any idea what kind of company or anything, any place I can direct my focus to specifically?
I'm feeling like the larger company, the number 800 is coming up as if to say 800 employees. So I feel like I'm working with a very large company. I'm getting the word multinational, which tells me that it would have locations overseas as well. I don't feel like you'll be there, but I feel like you're one office in a larger company there. The actual place that I see you working in is about a group of 8 to 12 people. So I'm feeling like you're working in a very small group of a large company. I'm seeing a small pay raise. I won't put it over 10 grand. That's my sense.
Okay. From what I'm currently making here, though?
Yeah. I'm seeing that you're getting very, very close. But I feel like they might lowball you, so I'm feeling like come in, like if they're going to offer 10 grand higher, come in with like 20 grand or something. Something I see that it's a very definite offer, and I feel the word tenure coming up with that. So I feel like it's a place that not only would you move to and be happy, but you'd want to settle in there.
Good.
To wrap up and tie it up, I feel very, very strongly about that happening, an offer in December according to those parameters, but I'm also feeling that if you do choose to stay and you go on for a second contract, please seek legal advice of somebody that's familiar with contract law to make sure that you're covering your tuchus, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
I love that.
Thank
okay.
you so much, sir.
Thank you
Have
so much
day.
For calling. Thank you so
no,
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, wow. Well, let me say this, Dr. Ron Weber. It's my turn.
Right on.
Oh, I have. Okay, you know what? Let me. It's interesting because I already know the answer. So do I ask a question that I already know the answer to? I have to say no. Why waste that, right?
Hit me up.
Okay. I'm right in the middle of changing PR managers, and is that a good move?
It's a PR management change. Let's see. Picking up on a couple of things. One is just that the new person coming in, they've got major connections. And I feel like some of them are just getting developed right now, okay? So I want to tell your listeners that when I pick up, one of the things that I hear a lot is lyrics. I hear a lot of lyrics in my head, and the reason I do is because I have a background with music. I play some instruments, I sing, and so we get words, right, in our heads that can happen, yeah. And I'm getting Peter Gabriel's Big Time. So that's telling me that the quality of the connections that you have, you're playing on a different chessboard with this new person.
Yeah.
And I feel there's a hesitance to put the bucks up, okay? A little bit like, what can you do for me now, right? And what I'm getting is it's a go. That's part of it, right?
Yeah.
But the second part, and it's very interesting that all the contractual stuff is coming up. I want to know what kind of delivery they're going to offer you. You know, I want to find out that. I want to get it. I feel like you've got an opportunity to work with somebody that can do you a world of good, but I would want the specifics. And I feel that there's a little bit of a holdback on what the kind of specifics are they can offer you. And I think part of the reason why that's happening is because they're also feeling the experience of expansion. And the intuitive connection with that feeling of expansion is not something they're familiar with. Okay? So they know they're going bigger. And you know they're going bigger. And I think to some degree, neither one of you knows just how good that's going to be just yet. And so I'd say roll with that.
Well, you know why they're going bigger? Because I'm signing up with them.
There you go. There you go. It feels like a snowball to me.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah, real good with that. So I'm feeling a go. But on the other hand, I'm feeling that as regards to your current PR work, I'm feeling a loyalty there. You know, this is somebody who's taking you where you've needed to go. And I feel that. I feel that connection. But
yeah.
Outgrown that connection, you ready for the
yeah.
next one? And I feel like I'm getting all systems go. I'm seeing a rocket launch.
Here we go. I got my helmet on. I got my astronaut suit on. Here we go. To the moon, Alice.
Other things that I'm getting are major affiliate stations. I'm seeing CBS, NBC, ABC. I'm getting Proud as a Peacock. So if you've got connections there, I'd allow yourself to take them.
Mm-hmm.
Something's coming up like that.
Ooh. Yeah, I
feel it. You feel it too, yeah?
Yeah, I do feel it. The interesting thing, because I do have a connection with the universe, and they do talk to me. They talk to me usually when I'm in the shower, because I don't do this. I meditate in the shower, and so I can ask a question at any time, and I do receive an answer that's specific to me. And one of the things, this is just all in my head as opposed to the spiritual specific to me, is just relaxing with all of it, relaxing with my life, relaxing with how my life has unfolded, and opposed to, why haven't I gotten my stuff now? What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? Where is my syndicated radio show? Where is my television show? Where is it? So I used to do all of that before, and now I'm just relaxing with all of it and just knowing that I can't speed it up, I can't slow it down, I can't stop it, I can just surrender and trust and know that it's going to happen.
Right, right. You know, I've heard something interesting when you're talking about the universe talking to you, and I think that when you hear somebody on a radio station such as this, you hear the universe talking, and you get that real New Age wording of it, we can't forget that people that have come up with some of the most brilliant inventions of our time have also expressed it in exactly the same way. The muse is characterized in physics and music and broadcasting. It's all the same way, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you're tuning into. You're tuning into that muse and that inspiration and that spark. And, yeah, it is on universal time, right? We can show up and we can be prepared, and then we got to let it go.
Yes. Yes. Oof. Okay, so, and I also want to talk to my daddy, my father, who is in the other realm.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Norrington.
Well, let me talk about mediumship a little bit, because I have a question for you as well, if you don't mind.
Please.
what I have found in my experience is that a medium cannot conjure a spirit up.
Oh.
And I have also found that a medium cannot, if a spirit communicator comes through, get that spirit communicator to say anything in particular, which is why when I work in a session with somebody, I say, we have to be willing to open the door and see who's there, right?
Okay.
And so what I'm curious about is this, is that I can take the name of your loved one and I can psychometrize that. I can tune into that energy and I might be able to find some things about their personality and talk about them and maybe even have an impression of what they look like. But that's not the spirit world reaching out on a high vibration and making a contact and without effort filling my mind and my being and my subconscious with ideas and experiences, right? That's not spirit coming through. And my question is this. Have you ever met somebody that can do this? Because I'm still searching for the person that can do this. There are people that say they can go and they can bring somebody through in particular. And I don't believe that's in our control. I'm wondering what you think. Has that come up on a show before? Has that come up in your experience?
Not on a show, but I did meet, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Hans King.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the name.
Have you heard of him? Have you heard the name?
Yes, yes, I have.
And I did have a meeting with him. This was maybe 3 years ago or so. And I didn't ask. I mean, I didn't say, you know, where's my father? He did say your father is in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say a few things about my father. But that is the extent of it. And he was. What else did he say? I'm trying to remember. He said, what else did he say? That he loved my mother very much. However, that did not manifest in the real world. but in that other world, he loved my mother. But that was basically it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great example because what that is that's a medium who's opening the door and is bringing through your father, but of your father's free will, right?
Yeah.
So that is him opening the door. It could have been your first grade teacher. It could have been a loving aunt. It could have been a best friend and so on and so forth. But again, that's not somebody saying, I have the capacity to go to the other side and make that person talk, right?
Right. Right,
and I
okay.
think that that is an example of just, you know, what you're talking about is solid evidential mediumship. So when you say to me or a client says to me, I want to talk with this person and I want them to talk about this, to me that's conjuring a spirit. To me that's going against somebody's free will. And I haven't found that to be either one, something that I'm willing to do because I don't want to, you know, wring somebody's neck.
Yeah.
And number two, I don't feel like I've got that power over another person, right? So that's part of it. So when I work, what I do is I open the door and I see who comes through on their own accord, right? All that you're doing is greeting the person at the door. You're not pulling anybody through. And so I have this fascination with people that talk about that with the idea that they can pull somebody through. Because I think to myself, that's really twisting an arm, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. You know what? Wow. I love what you're saying. And it's interesting, like I said, I never said the word. He just says, your father is here, your father is. So I totally get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right.
Right.
People come and go when they feel it when they feel it. And the other thing is, if I really wanted to talk to my dad, I can ask him. I say, Dad, hey, Dad, you know, come here, you know, I can feel him too. I can bring him to me if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I just was, yeah, I was curious if you had any new, you know, new stuff.
Yeah. I would like to share with you a story about my own father too, because I
Please.
Think it validates what you're talking about with the idea of we can talk. We don't need a medium, right? I
yeah.
just find that as a medium, it's easier for me to sit down with another medium because I can provide validation about my loved ones through them, whereas if they come to me directly, there's not that validation cycle. But anyway, I want to just talk about, long story short, when I was overseas in England once, I had a practice session with a medium who felt that she really wasn't very good at this work. And what she did was she brought through my biological father, who did not raise me. So I had very limited information about him. And the information that I did have, she ascertained very, very well. And she gave his name and she described him and so forth. And I had just moved to New York City and I was living in a room that was full of boxes. And she says, well, you know, what he's also telling me is that you're living in a room and it's full of boxes, and one of these cardboard boxes has a vase in it, and in the vase there's a peacock feather. And this is completely true. This woman didn't know me from Adam. And this is all true. And my jaw's dropping now, right?
Yeah.
And I thank her very much. And I give her the validation. And I said, maybe you should change how you feel about doing this work, because you're obviously a very talented medium. And later that night, I go upstairs to my room. And in my head, I'm speaking with my father, as you're talking about here. And I said, Dad, if it's really you, like that wasn't proof enough, right? I said, Dad, if this is really you, I want a teddy bear. I want a symbol to confirm that that was really, you know, a conversation with you. And what I heard in my head is, I'll see what I can do. So what I wanted was, I wanted either a physical teddy bear to be, you know, entered into my life some way. I use it as a symbol, you know, a typical parent-child thing.
Yeah.
I thought either the word, you know, an image, you know, something on the radio, whatever. I wanted that experience to see that there would be some kind of communication. And the next day we go back to class, and I'm finishing up a one-on-one sitting next to two gentlemen that are also practicing with each other. And at the end of this experience, one gentleman says to the other, how'd you feel you got on? That's the expression they use. How'd you get on? And the other one says, quite well. And has said, how'd you feel that you got on? Yeah, quite well. It was good. He says, but you know, we just couldn't place that teddy bear.
Of course.
So that's what I mean about not needing a medium.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So you have that connection now with your dad.
Yeah, I do have a connection with my dad. He died in 2008, and I tell everyone that I don't really feel like he's dead. I mean, I can feel his energy around me even on the day that we quote unquote buried his body. I could still feel him. And I don't. The last 5 years of his life, he developed this hydrocephalitis, which is parallel to Alzheimer's. So he went into this state. Here's this old-fashioned guy that never said I love you, wasn't affectionate, always telling me what I did wrong, and so, you know that kind of upbringing. And then in the last stages of his life, he turned into this big teddy bear, loving, affectionate, you're the greatest, you're so smart, you're beautiful, all of this, the father that I never had. So I just loved the last 5 years of his life.
Wow.
And holding my hand, and I mean, I could go on and on about it, because and my mother was just the opposite. My mother just that was her rock, and she was totally destroyed that this man turned into a child. Couldn't remember the day before, the hour before, or even how to get dressed or any of that. But in reality, it was the best 5 years of my life with my father. And with that, with him dying during, you know, at that time. In fact, I remember the last time I talked to him, and I hadn't seen him in about a month. I used to see him every month. They lived in Las Vegas. I'm in California. And so the last time I talked to him, I called him on a Saturday, and I said, hey, Dad. And he would never say I love you. I said, hey, Dad, I just want to tell you I love you. I love you. And his voice was really, really weak. And he says, I love you too, sugar. I love you too. You're the best.
Aww.
And then he died 2 days later. So, I mean, the story is, I've actually had a, you know, speech with this, but yeah, and it is all how you look at it. You can change your perspective about death. You can change your perspective about situations. As you know, this is a blessing. Him being in that state the last 5 years of his life was a blessing to me.
Yes, I can understand. A lot of times we think about this, very final experience of death is this one day that a person passes on. And when I hear people coming through from the spirit side of life, they will often give me enough information to explain to their surviving loved one, this is how I passed on, this is what it was like, this is, you know, what I remember, this is what the experience was the next minute. But it's not all of their lives. And that last part, when a person has a chance to prepare for passing, either in the way that you described, in a certain way, or if they're consciously aware of it, can create those times in the life that were never there before. I can think of a friend recently passing on, and she passed on quickly from a cancerous condition in which she basically was on her way out in 6 months, and it was very fast. And the last time I saw her, of course, her body had become wasted from the disease, but her brain was completely intact. And it appeared as if she was both 40 years older in age and 40 years older in wisdom almost overnight. And it was such a blessing to be able to share that part of her life with her.
Ooh, I love that. I love those stories. Yeah.
You know? So, the you know, if we're lucky enough to be able to say goodbye like that, it can be such a blessing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, we have one more caller, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. I just want to say thank you again. I'm so grateful to you being on the show. We have one more caller that would like to speak with you, and this is area, actually not area code, it's Salsa. Good morning, Salsa. What's your first name?
My name is Louise.
Good morning, Louise. Hi.
I just got up and turned this on. I'm going, wow, I like this. So thank you for being up early this morning and doing this. I just wanted to ask you, you know, a question you're talking about, passing over and whatnot. My first husband died 21 years ago. Before he died, he was kind of kidnapped by his family, so we didn't get to see him passed away. But I knew he was passing when I went to sleep, and we always had a great connection no matter where he was. I knew what was going on with him physically and whatnot. He was very ill. And during this night, two nights before he passed, when I went to sleep, it was like him and I were watching this movie, and this movie was his life. And it didn't click.
Wow.
It did not click until maybe a quarter through the way of the dream, or seemed like a dream, that we were watching his life review with me. And I knew that he was trying to go away.
Wow.
And so I woke up and refused to go back to sleep, just sobbing, thinking, no, if I don't go back to sleep, he can't say goodbye. And we won't do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this for a couple of nights. And the last night, of course, the dream wound up finishing. And I was, you know, pretty in the dream. I don't know if I was in a dream state or not. I still don't know. But he gave me phone numbers of where to call in the dream to check to see if this indeed was correct. And that gave me, you know, directions and things of what would happen next with me and him and, you know, so on and so forth. I have his child. And,
please?
Yes.
Do you have a question for Dr. Ron Weber?
Can you tell me if this is, does that happen often? Is this something that people experience?
Sure, I can address that. Summarize that. What you're talking about is a visitation in a dream that can be validated. And I hear this all the time as a medium. And my feeling is that in a dream, the person who has passed on has the opportunity to come through without having an emotional wall up on the part of their survivor. So you can actually have a very, very pleasant connection with them that can be loving. It can tie up loose ends. It can give opportunities for words to be said that were never said. because what you have is you have unadulterated subconscious connection with that person. You have nothing getting in the way of you hearing what they have to say. So I absolutely believe that's real. I believe the quality of that connection makes you wake up and say, I met them. And if you are comfortable with it and you want to welcome them into your dream state and that's something that's comfortable for you, I would encourage you to do it. A lot of people have fear around having an encounter with a loved one who's passed on in their waking life. So the kind of work that I do for some people can be very fearful. But the reality is that almost every single time it occurs, people will experience feelings of joy, of reunion, of celebration, of finding the love that is connected to that grief. So I would encourage you to keep doing this. Have opportunities to perhaps experiment with your loved one. Get a couple more phone numbers. I'm sure everybody's saying, did he give you the lottery numbers too, right? And express what needs to be expressed and have that connection with him in spirit as we are spirit inside.
I love that.
He can be one of your best teachers.
Thank you so much, Louise. Thank you for calling. We have one more last caller. This is it. Last caller. This is it. Last call. Area code 310. You are on live on Reality Spirituality and with Dr. Ron Weber. What's your first name?
My first name is Mindy.
Hi, Mindy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be here. I'm just drinking coffee and I found your show. And thank you so very much for being here. I don't know, do you ask a question or do you receive information or what is it that, I don't know how, I'm just,
okay, well,
I'm very interested in the process.
Mindy, do you have something going on in your life that you need clarity with? Do you have something going on in your life that you want answers? Okay, then ask a specific question.
Okay. It has to do with I am launching my business, and it's taking so much time. And then there's the person that's helped me with business. Sometimes he's there with me, and sometimes he's not. So I would encapsulate it as my business. How is that looking, the vibration of that?
Absolutely. I can tune into that. You're very welcome. Mindy, when I get information, I think that I would classify into two categories, information that is completely positive from the get-go and information that is challenging that we can use to become more empowered with ourselves. As soon as you began talking about your business, I was getting a red flag with that. I was getting the sense of too early, and I was getting a sense that the foundational columns are not in place for this business to thrive in accordance with how you've set it up right now. And what I feel is that what would really help is that if you pour that foundation in more solidly right now and you had that structure in place, your business will thrive. But I'm feeling like right now it's that there is a big conflict between wanting to have that business for yourself in the way that you dream of it and the reality and the nuts and bolts of it. And that hasn't come into a matching phase yet. And I'm feeling very much that there is a reluctance on your part to ask for a concrete. The metaphors are coming off with concrete. Do you do anything in the building industry itself, or is it just a metaphor?
The man that I'm interested in is going to be building things.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's
you're also
community.
Right on. I could also confirm for you. Please excuse me. I don't want to interrupt your process, but I can confirm for you that I am here in Los Angeles. My business is in the UK, and my mother is dying from cancer. So it's like, oh man, how to put two things to put my feet in. But it's taken me a very long time with the business in the UK, and I'm almost there. The retailer has invited me on in, so it's a very large account. So it's like, oh man.
Right. Yeah. I do feel like these things
are in
order. And definitely my compassion to your mother.
Thank you.
And what's going on. You're very welcome with that. I do feel like there are things that are going to be happening simultaneously. I don't feel like this is all going to wait on your mother's health care. Okay. That's a separate thing that's happening concurrently.
Yes.
What I feel like is that once you get the foundation built here, and this gentleman that's involved with you, the idea that the building metaphor is coming up so strongly and that that's literally what he's doing suggests to me that I'm very tuned in with this. And what I'm getting is in the next 3 to 6 months, I'm getting opportunities for what I'm getting is like it looks like it's an opportunity to be in almost multiple offices or multiple franchises. Where,
that is correct.
Oh, great. Okay, great. I wish I could work with you the whole hour. You know, we're like spot on. There we go.
You have such wonderful energy.
Thank you.
I don't usually call on in, but yes, thank you. Sorry about that.
Great.
Mindy, I really appreciate you calling in because, you know, that's just this information. You were inspired to call in, and so that just shows you that do whatever you're inspired to do, and you've been such a wonderful part of the show. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being open and honest with us. Thank you, Mindy.
My pleasure.
Okay, Dr. Ron Weber, we are going to have to wrap this up. You have been fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to be on your show today.
Yes, and I just want to let my listeners know where they can find you, and your website is Communication
with an S.
Communications with an S, inspirit.com. Communicationsinspirit.com. That's one word. Is there anything else you'd like to share with my audience, how they can contact you or your radio show? You would like to share some more?
Sure, absolutely. A couple quick things. I have a website that's communicationsinspirit.com. It can also be reached with my name, drromweber.com. I have a Facebook page up at Dr. Ron Weber Spiritual Medium, and I concurrently post up-to-date listings for radio shows and events. I would love to plug two upcoming events that I'm really excited about. I have an event that's posted right now on Facebook and will be posted on the website later today. October 17th in Manhattan, a live demonstration of mediumship that I'm very excited about at the Edgar Cayce ARE Association for Research and Enlightenment Center, the evening of October 17th. And then on November 1st, I am delighted to come out to the Family Music Center in Las Vegas, Nevada to do a solo demonstration of mediumship for that evening. We call it Messages from Loved Ones in Spirit. And so if you'll be in the Las Vegas area and come on out to Western Las Vegas, I'm very, very excited to be doing that and to giving back to some people that helped bring this field into my life as well. And that's going to be a benefit for the Community Spiritual Center of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. I just love that you are sharing your gifts with the world. And I love your energy, and I just love your lightness, just lightness. Just
thank you.
Yeah, you're just a wonderful, wonderful spirit and person and energy, and thank you again for being on Reality Spirituality.
Thank you again so much.
Okay, now I'm just going to sign off today, everyone. You know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday morning at 7 a.m., and if you'd like more information on my programs that I offer, you can go to RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. You can go to the private sessions tab. And if you would like to receive my monthly newsletter, it's free. Just go to info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Send me an email. And if you've enjoyed the show, like us on Facebook. Reality Spirituality is on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. Until next time, my dear audience, my arms are out, and I'm embracing all of you. I want to remind you who you are. You are an extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again tomorrow. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you all again. Stay on the line, Dr. Weber.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Thank you for staying on the line. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Wow.
I just love your energy. I could just feel you. I could feel you.
It is it's amazing, the power of radio. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you'd like? I would love to have you on as a guest in the future if you don't mind.
I would be glad to. I think we work so well together.
Yeah, perfect. And so you said you have a radio show. Is that weekly?
I have been the occasional co-host on what used to be Two Mediums at Large. It's now called Medium at Large. It's a show that was founded a couple years back by somebody that I actually trained with at one point, Susan and Marjorie. They did it together. Susan was my coworker at the time. And what happened was that after a couple years, Marjorie decided to step down because she had so much of her own private client work. And
mm-hmm.
what Susan did was she changed it to make it rather than just a mediumship on-air program. She is now interviewing mediums from all over the world and
Ooh.
Getting perspectives. Yeah, so she's changed it up a little bit. And she's a wonderful host. So I filled in a couple of times with that. And they're listed now on Facebook. I've got to update the website, which takes longer. And what I'm finding is this, mediumship on air is a pretty intense learning curve because people need a little bit of education before they can really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why what I want to do is I want to have an opportunity to go on air with more than one person at one time. I think that would be for an amazing show. Like what I've done once is I was able to call in to say a group of people that were collected in Baltimore in a hotel room. And I called in there and we did it like a virtual group reading. I call it like the virtual seance, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
That really works. And I think that would be excellent for radio. And I think that would make a better show than the format they're using where it goes back to back to back to back. Because sometimes what happens is the spirit communicators will jump a line. And it gets kind of messy, whereas if you've got everybody together, you can do that British style of mediumship where you're connecting with the spirit and then finding out who among the listeners that person wants to connect with. And that's my preference. So doing a little bit on the nuts and bolts of reconnecting that way and maybe doing something in a different format at some point.
How unique. I love that. It sounds perfect. It really does. It sounds different and it sounds perfect.
I also want to just stress, as far as we did a little mini reading there, I wasn't kidding about seeing the major networks for you. That was no symbolism. That was major. So I encourage you to hold that dream. I don't waste energy.
Yes, you know what? Now you're. I'm sitting here, and honestly, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not surprised. That's just where I am with the universe. I just know it, and I'm busy now. Now I got to get my skin corrected. You know, the little Botox. I'm saying all that in joking, but I'm when I say not surprised, I don't want to. I'm saying that, and I know what you're saying, and I'm just that's how I know that the universe is working. I really. Feel, and it's not about being famous. It's not. It's just about the message that I have. It's about the message that I have, and just uplifting this whole planet. You know,
Absolutely. It's just
So thank you for that so much.
Very welcome. Thank you once again so much for having me aboard. I enjoyed your callers, and you know they were coming from all different kinds of places, and that's how it goes, right? Yeah, you open
yeah. And you know what else I love about you? I love your patience. You're very patient. Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I got to work on a little bit, because I'm like, okay, get to the point. She said you want something specific. Get to the question. And I mean, I'm better with it. Believe me, if I was last year, I would have. But that's, I really want to work. I mean, come on, if I'm supposed to be loving, I got to open it and relax with it and be patient and listen and, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, anyway. Have a great day. And so I'm going to let my son know, because he's in Manhattan, I'm going to let my son know that you are in Manhattan and you might just see me in Las Vegas, because that's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah, I try to get out there a couple times a year. My friend, who's practically my sister, is out there with her family and the people she grew up with. They're all from Honolulu originally. And so they've been living in Vegas for almost 21 years, I want to say.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it's like a second home for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, have a marvelous day, and thank you again. You have not heard the end of me, the last of me.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thanks again, and enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.